If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Psalm 1. If you don't, you can turn to page 9 on the bulletin where Psalm is there printed. Let me read to you the text for this morning, which is all of Psalm 1. A well-known psalm for many, I am sure, and one this morning that I wish to draw some lessons from. Hear then the word of God. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open now your word to us. By your Spirit, O God, would you cause us to see that which you would have us see? May we see ourselves reflected in your word. May we hear your voice drawing and calling us to you. May we be challenged and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I said to you, it's like deja vu all over again, who would you think of? Yogi Berra. I like him. I like some of the things he said. I especially like, you can observe a lot by just watching. Love that. But for this morning, I recalled one of my all-time favorites was this. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. Psalm 1 illustrates a fork in the road. Unlike Yogi Berra, the scriptures tell us which fork to take. Tell us that there is a way in which we are to go. Psalm 1 really is the opening psalm of all of the psalms. Historically, it probably was actually together with Psalm 2 because they really form a whole. But Psalm 1 tells us that there are two paths in life and that there are consequences of the path chosen. If you like, there are consequences of character illustrated in this psalm. You see, all men, this psalm tells us, can be divided into two groups. Those that are following God and godliness, and those who are not. Not always the most pleasant message to hear in our multi-ethnic, multi-religious, multi-I-don't-know-what world, where all things are relative and no truth is considered absolute. But this psalm tells us that the two consequences of character are very simple: futility and fruitfulness. And those are the two issues I want us to consider as we look at this psalm. Futility and fruitfulness. Actually, we're going to start with fruitfulness first and kind of mention futility as we go. So please turn with me to Psalm 1. I'm going to be moving around the scriptures a little bit this morning, so keep your finger there as we go from verse to verse and as we go to other places in the Word of God. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. In this little section, we have what is called in Hebrew poetry stair-like or progressive parallelism. We see the idea of walking and of standing and of sitting. We see the idea of counsel and of way and of seat and of wicked and sinners and mockers. It's often been said that men move slowly but inexorably away from God. Most of us do not intend to become mockers of God. But the truth for us this morning is that if we do not watch our way, we can get there. But look at the first line before we get there. Blessed is the man. The idea here of this word blessed isn't just, well, blessed, but somebody who is overwhelmingly, absolutely, beyond any shadow of doubt, completely, totally blessed. There's nothing else you can be. There is no other adjective to describe the absolute pinnacle of the blessing that you know. Blessed is the man. So at the beginning of the psalm, God lays out for us a hope, a picture, perhaps even a red carpet. Do you want to be a blessed person? Do you want to know the blessings of God in your life? Don't raise your hand. I'm going to assume the answer is yes. Do you want to know what it is that every day of your life is a day of excitement in God? Then read on. Because blessed is the man who does certain things. Now, interestingly enough, what is odd about the beginning of this psalm is it begins then with negatives. Normally, if I was to say to you, blessed is the man who, most of us would immediately come up with all sorts of great ideas. Blessed is the man who reads his Bible every day. Blessed is the man who prays every day. Blessed is the man whom God has blessed with a big car and a nice house. Or other way around. Whatever. We would think of positive things. But the psalmist begins with some negatives. And again, what we find here is this idea immediately confronting us that the psalms require us to put aside all forms of subjectivism and all forms of relativism and to submit ourselves to God. Because I would suggest to you that in most circumstances we find ourselves, if we're very positive, well, God likes to worship in this way or in that way, most of us wouldn't make many enemies. But the minute we say, well, God likes this and this, but not that, is when the problem begins. God likes us to worship Him on a Sunday and to sing hymns and psalms of praise, to sing songs of celebration to Him, to pray. But He does not allow us to worship idols. Uh-oh. We've just lost half of our audience. God loves us to worship Him in person. To tell Him who He is. And to adore Him for all His great and loving acts. But God does not ask us to kill in His name. Just lost another one. And we could go down the line. That's the religious people. Now we deal with the irreligious people. And it gets even worse. God does not accept the worship of people who walk in the counsel of the wicked. The movement here in this little verse is from listening to voices that you ought not to listen to. Our world is full of counselors. Our world is full of people with major problems. And they are going here and there for all sorts of counseling. You've just got to watch daytime television, everything from, I don't know, Geraldo to Dr. Phil. And you'll get your mix of ideas, of counsel that people are getting. But for the Christian man and woman, here we have this idea of being careful not to listen to words that are not bound by the Scriptures. You see, the wicked are those who, verse 2, do not make their light their delight in the law of the Lord, whose lives are not defined by Scripture. But so often, if we're not careful, we can listen to words of gossip. We can have our hearts and minds changed by listening to criticisms, by listening to negativity. And yet the Lord would say to us, be careful. Because if you begin to walk in the counsel of the wicked, you will soon stand in their way. You will be set. Your path will be established in their way. And before you know it, you find yourself sitting with the mockers, decrying all there is concerning God. So blessed is the man who does not do certain things, who is careful about to whom he listens, is careful about the path that he establishes in life, and is careful not to associate or to identify himself with those who hate Christ. Look at verse 2. Here's a positive. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His joy, that which fills him up. How often have you gone to the Scriptures in need, in difficulty, in times when it seems that your world is beginning to implode, and God speaks to you through the Word of God? Suddenly you find the joy of the Lord being your strength, and you delight in the Word. It becomes food and drink to you in a time of spiritual starvation. The Scriptures must be turned to for guidance. In the bright and cheery days of prosperity, we look to Scripture for guidance and for direction and for assurance that God is with us and we are doing His will. But in those dark and dreary nights of the soul, when the heavens seem at rest, when it seems as though there is no way forward, when our marriages are hitting difficulties, when we've got difficulties with our children or children with your parents, if you've got financial problems, if you have got job problems, if there are issues that just seem to be impossible for you to resolve relationally, if there is sin that is gripping your heart and it seems you just cannot get rid of it, we come to the Lord in His Word. And we delight in the Word. And we meditate upon it. And we ruminate upon it. And we think upon it so that it becomes a part of us. Turn with me to Joshua 1. You recall that Moses, in this part of Scripture, has died. Joshua is now taking over the reins and the rulership of Israel. Daunting and challenging task. And we find, be strong and very courageous, verse 7. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of this law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now understand, I am not speaking of some kind of prosperity doctrine here, where we can, for prosperity, we can read Cadillac, 4,000 square foot home, or whatever it is that your idea of prosperity is. but that God will go with us in what we do is what we see here. And so we find the blessed man is taking a path towards something, and now we find what it is here in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. There's that prosper word again. Here's this idea of God blessing you and causing you to overcome the enemy. Before we go any further, look at Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." And Jeremiah 17:7, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Back to Psalm 2, we see the same idea, that God pictures us as blessed people, as a tree in a fruitful or an area where there is water. And where this is so important for those who first read this, of course, in an arid land, water was very, very important. So they understood the difference between trees found out in the wilderness, stunted and burnt and unfruitful, and those they would find in oases and beside rivers and so forth that would be fruitful and green. And so we find that we are as a tree planted by streams of water. Now note that this tree yields its fruit in season. This is not a special reward. This is not something that that comes unexpectedly to us. The fruit on a cultivated fruit tree typically is not an unexpected occurrence. It is a regular occurrence, something that in the normal course of events you would expect your apple tree to produce apples once a year, your orange tree, plum tree, and so on and so forth. And so the idea that the psalmist is telling us here is that if we will order our lives aright, going back to verse 1, if we will walk in the counsel of the godly, if we will set our path in the way of those who are righteous, if we will live in terms of acknowledging all that God is, if we will delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, then we can expect, as the normal rhythm of our lives, seasons of fruitfulness. We all have seasons of unfruitfulness. Perhaps this morning, that defines you. Perhaps this morning you think to yourself, "I can't see any fruit on my tree. I don't know when the last time I led someone to the Lord was. I don't know the last time I really had victory over this issue or that sin. I'm struggling in the midst of spiritual, emotional, moral, financial, relational despair. I don't see any fruit." But the scripture says this: if we will be faithful to the word of God, if we will be faithful to God himself who is revealed therein, then we can be sure that there will be times of fruitfulness. As I was thinking about this and thinking about our own church here at Tampa Bay Presbyterian Church, I think of the future, the next few months and indeed years, as we enter into our capital stewardship campaign and all that we hope to accomplish. The issue of the campaign is not simply to raise money. is part of it. But it is so that God's kingdom can be better established among us and then in this neighborhood. That God's word can be proclaimed with boldness. That we can indeed become an oasis for folks who are fed up picking berries from stunted trees and bushes and are longing for the fruit of the Word of God to be revealed in their life. And so the blessed man, the man who wants to be absolutely saturated with God's blessings, is a man who is saturated with the Word of God. We are fortunate in this church to have Pastor Freddie, to have others who are feeding us the Word of God. I encourage you to listen, to put your roots deep into this congregation, to allow the roots of, if you like, of your relationships to commingle and to spread around, drinking deeply from the Word of God, fellowshipping in the name of Christ one with another, so that we as a church can see a season of fruitfulness come to pass. One commentator said, as we look at this text, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. He said, the words of profession are to actions what leaves are to fruit. We profess and we proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We confess that He is our provider in every single way. And as I say, not in some kind of crazy name it and claim it way, but in the way of recognizing that God is who He says He is, and His Word is true. And if there's anything we can, the only thing we can bank on in this life, is that God's Word is true and will come to pass. Blessed is the man who is planted by streams of water, because you will yield your fruit in season. Your leaf will not wither, and what you do will prosper. It may not seem it. It may seem as if you're in the middle of a desert and a dry time. God says, believe me. Believe what I say to be true. And God, who is a faithful God, will bring it about in due season. Remember this, that no fruitful tree ever really grew by itself. Cultivated trees are cultivated. They're cared for. They're deliberately planted. And so it is with us. God has taken us, who were, as we read in the New Testament, wild olive trees, and grafted us into a new tree. He has put us and carefully cultivated us. We are the planting of the Lord, we read in Isaiah. It is God who has brought you. It is God who is bringing you. And it is God who will finally see you to be fruitful in your life. Now, the two paths in life I mentioned are seen by the two fruits they bear. Look at verse 4. Not so the wicked. They're not fruitful. But they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Now the idea here is, in those days when wheat was harvested, grain was harvested, they would take it typically onto some kind of a hillside that would have a nice breeze blowing up it. They would grind it. They would try and separate the kernel, the good part of the grain, from the coating and the covering and the leaves and stalks and all that stuff. And then what they would do, having ground it, they would throw it up in the air. And the heavier good kernel would fall quickly to the earth. But the light stuff, the outer husks, the chaff, would just simply be blown away. Every year, the kernel grew and the husks of the chaff grew with it. The fruitful kernels were used to make bread and bring sustenance to people. But the chaff just simply floated away. Sometimes it was gathered up and burnt, but you couldn't even burn it in a fire. It would burn up so quickly. It was useless. It was empty. It was worthless. And so often, we need to understand that the wicked are just like that. Our sinful action, those who follow the path not to God, but to evil, at the end of the day, their lives are utter futility. Hopelessness, complete vanity. Understand this. There is always a harvest. There is always a harvest. Your actions will produce a harvest. Our thoughts do produce a harvest. How dreadful it would be to find at the end of the day that the things that we thought we were doing, here we were thinking of this picture of the husk growing up with the kernel. Well, I'm beside the kernel. I must be real important. I must be like part of this thing. It's going to be great. I'm going to feed people. I'm going to look after people. God is going to be blessed with all I do. And when the judgment comes and the grinding is done, we find ourselves as chaff. The point, brothers and sisters, is this, and the point to us all. The difference between being the kernel and the chaff is being in Christ or not. What we do counting towards the sustenance of the kingdom of God or not. I would challenge us individually and as a church. Are you the chaff? Are you really grounded and rooted in Christ? Do your roots go deep into His Word? Do your roots go deep into a faith in Christ alone? By His grace alone, saving you? Or are you trusting in yourself and your own works, ideas, and thoughts? There is coming a judgment, verse 5 tells us. There is coming an eternal assizes, where we will stand before the judge of all the world and give an account. But there is also a judgment now. There is also a judgment in this life. Because the sinners will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. I encourage you to think carefully about your path and your character. Let us close by looking at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 6 of Psalm 1 says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." God knows us. He knows our inner thoughts. There is nothing hid from His eye. He knows us more intimately than we know ourselves. We cannot fool Him. We can't fake it before Him. On the final day, we will not be able to bluster our way into His presence. We may fool others, we may fool people, even of your own family or in this church, but you never fool God. Paul writes to the Philippians, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider it loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I would imagine all of us long to know what it will be to hear those words from God as we stand before Him. Welcome to my heaven. Well done, true and faithful servant. But we must count all things as loss for the sake of Christ. And we must consider all things utterly futile, except this one thing: walking and worshiping our Lord and Savior. Walking with and worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Christ in us that will make us fruitful, and it is us in Christ that will cause that to happen. May the Lord make us fruitful. May we see seasons of fruitfulness in our lives because we set our path towards Him and we are diligent in our seeking after Him and we confess the truth. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Let us pray. Our merciful and gracious Father, we thank You that You have called us not only to worship You, but to be blessed by You. Lord, I pray for those who are in the midst of difficult times, who are in the midst of barren times. Lord, I pray that they may lift their eyes towards You. Their hope might be in You. And that they would see seasons of fruitfulness in Your time. And may we as a church of God so enjoy Your presence and so be diligent to sink our roots deep into Your Word that You would be pleased in the fullness of time to cause fruit to be seen, to cause this church to grow in the knowledge and grace of God. And to cause this area to be impacted and to be touched and people to find rest for their souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.